My name is Jane, and I was Jane Clark, and I was born in Heybridge Basin. I was born in 1939, in July, just before the war.
Lovely. And Molly?
I'm Molly Graham, Molly Clark, but was. I was born in Heybridge Basin, Jane's sister, and I was post-war. She's pre, and I'm post. And I was born in the house, Ship Cottage, by the canal, and they were filling in a horse trough where the horses used to drink outside. And apparently I made such a kerfuffle that they stopped work to give my mum a bit of peace.
Jane, can you tell me a little bit about your father?
Well, our father was born in Heybridge Basin, and he worked for Brown and Sons in Chelmsford, timber merchants.
Right.
He was foreman at Heybridge Basin.
So what did that job involve?
That involved bringing in timber from Scandinavia. The ships used to, you know, come from Scandinavia. They used to unload it into the basin, or they used to unload it at Stansgate, actually, into lighters, which were Thames barges demasted, bring it into Heybridge Basin, and then it would be loaded into lighters that would go to Chelmsford via the canal with horse-drawn lighters.
And your father was responsible for overseeing all that?
He was responsible for overseeing it, yes.
Yeah, and checking the timber, that sort of thing?
His father before him too, I think.
Really?
His father had the job before.
And how was, Molly, how was he involved with the horses?
Well, they had horse-drawn. There was no engines in these lighters, so it was horse-drawn. It's 13 miles and 12 locks?
11 locks.
11 locks. From here to Chelmsford, and they were pulled by an old horse. They stabled some at the basin, and the others obviously were stabled in Chelmsford, but they used to stop off halfway at different places, didn't they, at the paper mill, and there's little places up there, like little tiny sheds, and that's where they used to bed down overnight.
Yeah. Are the sheds still there?
Yes, they're still there. At paper mill and...
It's one of paper mill, no?
And how long was your father working, doing this job?
Well, during the war, he worked for Crittle. I don't know whether he was working for Brown's before that, but, of course, when the war came, he went into Crittle's factory, where they made bits for bombs and things like this. You know, so
Mum was there too,
and
wasn't she?
Mum also
had to go
there
too.
And as soon as war was ended, he was back for the timber trade.
During the timber trade.
Which I guess is what he really loved.
That's
doing.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And you were saying he hardly ever left the basin.
He didn't leave the basin very often, did he?
Not especially not in his last years. He just thought we were all mad if we wanted to go to Maldon.
He would go to Maldon on a Saturday night to the Ship and Anchor. For a beer.
But apart from that, he stayed in the basin.
Yes.
We used to have a barber's under the bridge, Wave Bridge here. A little old chap with a barber's, and if he wanted his hair cut, because he never owned he used to tinker about with engines, but he never owned a car. Wouldn't go on the road. So he'd take his barge up to under the bridge, moor it up and have his hair cut, and then take his barge back home. But poor old Mum got the job in the end. He decided it was cheaper to get her to do it. So she got it. The
and
job.
You were telling me about barges going up to the cemetery as well.
Yes, yeah. They used to do funerals from the basin, because you'd have to go in a cart, you know, the horse-drawn carts. And it was probably quicker, and everybody could go on a barge, on a little flat barge. And that would be towed by a horse up to here.
Up to the cemetery in Heybridge.
Up to the cemetery.
And they'd go in from the back gates. So the last one, I think, was a seaman who died down there.
Yes, it was.
And as I say, there are pictures of his, there his cortege going up.
So the coffin went with all the people attending the service.
That's right.
All went up together on the
barge.
Yes. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Really? We also used to have a Sunday school outing on the barges.
Did you?
Yes, we used to, you know, all the kids from the village used to, you know, be allowed to go on the barge and have a Sunday school outing.
And where did you go to? How far?
Well, I don't think we went very far, but up as far as Beely and back.
So you had a picnic at Beely?
Yeah, and then, picnic and, yes.
Then came back again?
He came back again.
Yeah. When Dad was small, it's in ruins now, but there was a reading room and a chapel down there. Right down the bottom, and they used to have.
Have you seen the chapel?
Yes.
What was the chapel?
Yes.
The ruin now. Mm.
They used to have a Sally Army?
A Band of Hope.
Band of Hope, that's right. Well, Dad got slung out of the Band of Hope, so he used to look through the window, you know, and make all the other kids laugh. Well, him and his brother, they were, you know. And they used to do outings and things, didn't they?
Yes,
the Band of Hope when they were young.
When you were both little, what are your memories of the basin?
Oh, endless summer days.
And very quiet, you know, very quiet and freedom. And freedom. We just used to go off and up over the fields in the ditches, catching sticklebacks and frogs, you know, the little tadpoles and things.
That was before what they now call the lakes over here, because they were gravel pits.
Yes.
And that was before brushes started with the gravel pits,
but
that
was the fields up.
Yes, the other way.
The Blackwater Sailing Club.
Yeah. The freedom to ride a little old bike all the way around the village without anybody having to worry about you.
And very little traffic, obviously.
And very little traffic.
You know? And the dogs used to just roam. They just used to come and go.
And were there a lot of shops at the basin?
There was one general store. He sold everything. And he also had a round, where you used to go to Goldhanger. Mm. But he absolutely sold everything. And that was Perkis. That
was
Perkis's shop.
Yes.
And we had a butcher. Mr. Leonard was the butcher. Mm.
So with those two shops, that was enough?
That was it, yes.
And I guess people grew a lot more vegetables in their
they
gardens.
Grew, yes, they grew their own vegetables, kept their own chickens.
Yeah.
And especially the cockerels for Christmas. Mm. You know, they kept cockerels from sort of summertime till Christmas time when you just had a chicken at Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And you obviously both went to school around here.
We went to Haybridge School.
Haybridge School, yeah.
When Dad and his brothers and sisters went, they used to walk up the canal bank every day and home at lunchtime and back again.
Yeah.
And as I said, there was always animosity between the basin kids and the Haybridge children.
Two different worlds.
Two different worlds, yes.
Yeah. You were talking about eels in the canal.
The eel company, it was started by a Kuyten, Hans Kuyten.
He was Dutch,
and he used to import them into the basin. And they used to come and they'd keep them in great big wooden storage tanks, load them into big boxes
with trays of eels.
Yeah. Like orange boxes, but great big
trays to go up to Billingsgate, to take them into Billingsgate.
Oh. Right. Dad's brother worked for, and his cousins worked for this man, and Dad used to stand up there with hose. They used to have to hose them to keep them alive.
Yeah. Before they went off in the early hours of the morning.
So where did they come from? Where were they caught? Do you know?
They came from islands?
Not at that particular time. I think they came from Holland then.
Did they?
They came from Holland. But latterly, they were coming in from America.
Wow.
They were taking tankers over to America and bringing them in.
Yes, yes. So they were unloading at Haybridge Basin for a while, kept here for a while.
During the war, they were working too, because our father had an accident going up to London with, it must have been Hannes, mustn't it?
Yeah, they were driving up in a lorry.
And caused the blackout. He had quite a nasty accident.
So you've been talking about your father. What about your mother? What stories of your mother?
Well, she was a Malden girl. She had one sister and four or five brothers, but she was the youngest, and she was sort of 3 months old when her mum died.
3 weeks.
3 weeks old when her mum died. And her grandmother took her over. She took all five of them, Granny Dudley, and brought them up until her father remarried. She worked for Wenlock's at one point, mum did. And then I think she got tied up with Dad. Well,
all her brothers were sailing bargemen. They were working bargemen.
So that was trading from...
They were trading,
Alden,
yes.
And here?
From around here, Colchester, to London for wheat. For wheat in the docks in London, and back to Colchester, Marriage's Mill.
Straw.
Timber.
There were a lot of working barges.
There were a lot of working barges.
They used to lay up on the boys at...
The Woolwich boys.
Woolwich,
they called them the starvation boys. Because these barges would lay on these boys waiting for cargo.
And also waiting for wind.
Yeah, but they were waiting for cargo, waiting to get into the docks, to be allowed to go into the docks, to unload from the ships with timber, wheat, whatever it was.
They would also sneak off. They would row off the boys to get there before somebody else.
They would muffle
else.
All the gear. They'd oh, muffle the yeah. gear.
Really?
So that, you know, yeah. they
and
could
they, and they would
sneak
row
off
them.
For cargo.
To get a load before anybody else did, because that was the only way they ate. You know, there used to be what they called a man and a boy, didn't they?
Man and
just
a boy.
Just a skipper and his mate. If they would be calm, they had great big oars and would row these things, didn't they?
When I was seven, which was when Molly was born, I went with my grandfather to... we went from Colchester to London and back to Colchester for wheat, and it took 6 weeks.
No.
It took 6 weeks.
Really?
Six weeks on the barge.
My goodness.
This was the year you were born, wasn't it?
That was a big adventure for you at that
time.
That was.
I was with my grandmother and father and my cousin.
Yeah. Wonderful. What a lovely memory.
Mum's brother, Tom, and his daughter, his youngest daughter, was my friend. She used to spend most of her summers with us.
She did.
Once her dad came off from sailing, because she would sail with him all the while. She was the youngest, and her and her dad, you know, sort of bonded. And she'd be with him all summer holidays, and he used to inspect her neck on the last day home, because she'd got a tide mark round here, you know, and make sure she had a good wash before they came back home. She wasn't allowed home until she'd had a good wash. Little old dog, they used to have a little old dog aboard,
Flossie.
Always, who would let anybody aboard, but wouldn't let them off. You could come aboard and shout and say hello, but you tried to get off and she'd not let you off at all, not until someone said it was all right for you to go.
Jane, when you left school, what was your first job?
My first job was with John Sad.
Yes.
And we were making TV cabinets for Echo in Southend.
Were you? And what was your part in that?
My part was various things that, you know, that came up in the work of it was woodwork. It was woodwork, you know.
And were there a mix of men and women?
There were a mix of men and women, yes.
How many hours did you work?
Half past seven till half past five.
Half past seven till half past five.
Yeah, 42. And my first wage packet, I earned 10p farthing an hour.
Oh.
I've still got that wage packet.
Have you? Yeah.
But it was good money, wasn't it?
Well,
it was good money for
well,
women.
Well, I don't know.
No?
Well, right. I don't know then.
She used to cycle backwards and forwards to work.
Yes,
and
along
times.
The towpath.
Mm.
Home to dinner
yeah.
and back again.
Mm. Right.
In yeah. an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. How long did it take you to cycle from Sads down here?
But to the Heybridge Basin? Mm. It must have been about 10 minutes, quarter of an hour. It wouldn't have been much longer because I wouldn't have had the time to do it.
Just enough time to
have
some food
and go back.
Mm. Yeah. And after Sads?
After Sads, I worked for the Buxton Chicken Company, where I used to vaccinate broiler birds at 3 weeks old. And I spent a long time doing that. You know, all the farms, the broiler houses, because it was a big thing then.
So that involved travelling around to different
that
farms?
That involved, latterly involved a lot of travelling around.
Mm. Were you on your own doing that?
No. Originally, I think there were 10 of us. And then when the live vaccines came in that were put into the water, there was only about 3 of us. But we used to do a big area. We used to do sort of Norfolk, Suffolk.
Did you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And you had a van? You were driving
We had
a van.
Van. We had a van, yes.
Mm. Mm. And Molly, what about you after school?
I spent the first year in the little shop at the Basin because Uncle George had taken over Mrs. Borer's little shop. And that was where we all went for sweets and everything when we were kids. And she used to sell methylated spirits by the bottle. She'd, you know, from a thingy. But she wouldn't sell it to you on a Sunday because she believed that the men used to drink it. Mm-hmm. So she'd never sell you methylated spirits on a Sunday. But when she died, unfortunately, Uncle George took it over and I worked there for a year. But then they closed it down and I went to Woolies and worked there for 4 or 5 years.
Woolies in Malden High
Malden,
Street?
Yes, in the High Street, yeah. Mainly sorting out the banking and I used to love collecting the money. You know, it was much better than serving the customers. And after that, I went to Bolton, which was sad still at the time, and they changed over to Bolton and Paul's. And I was making kitchen units. Mm. I was making kitchen units. And from there I had the 2 boys and packed up for them.
Mm. So when Sads changed hands, was it the same sort of work?
Mm.
Did it carry on exactly
yes.
the same as it had been?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, just Bolton and Paul's bought it out and carried
yes.
on with what they were doing.
I mean, they were timber merchants. Mm. They did a lot of timber, didn't they?
Mm. Yes, because they used to have barges or
yes.
ships down at Bradwell as well. You know, they'd bring that up to Malden. Mm. On. Mm.
So did
barges.
Both of you worked at Sayers, working with wood? Did
yes.
you need any sort of special training
no.
or you just picked it up
no,
as
we
you
just
went
picked
along?
It up. We just picked it up as you went along.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Didn't have special training or special shoes or special
no,
glasses.
Didn't have anything.
No,
ear protectors or anything.
Not
no.
like they have to have no. now, it's health and safety.
Yeah. And were you using machinery and
yes.
equipment?
Mm-hmm.
So you yeah. were doing exactly the same as the men were doing, basically?
Virtually, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Yes, you weren't mm-hmm. the same as the men, so you worked the same as the men. That was, you know,
Quite.
That was...
I'm not sure we earned the same, did we?
I think so at the time, do you reckon?
I don't know. But,
I can remember them bringing in this equal rights for ladies, which as far as I was concerned, sort of did me a great deal of harm, really. I was doing a lot better when I wasn't equal. You know, I was much better off. Yeah.
You mentioned to me earlier about the Jolly Sailor
yes.
pub and Mona.
Mm.
Could you tell me a little bit about Mona?
Well, our family had the Jolly Sailor for about 89 years, I think. It was 89 years. And when...
That's your mother's side or father's side?
On my father's
side.
On our father's side.
Yes. Yeah.
And Mona took it over when her father died.
Mm. When would that have been, roughly?
Oh, dear.
About
46.
40s.
He died, didn't he die when I was... No, that was...
Yeah, that was grandfather died when you were four.
I was born?
Yeah, 1947 he died. Mm.
But great-grandfather... They lived in a little shed alongside the pub and then took over the pub, and Jane was an astute businesswoman.
Oh,
well,
she
wasn't
was.
She came
to own a lot of property in the basin.
This was your great grandmother.
She bought a piece of land. She bought two or three cottages and something else. What else did she buy? All in one day at auction.
She was very astute. Very hard lady.
And great-grandfather, he had an appendicitis, didn't he?
Yes, and they...
And they brought the team down from London to the Jolly Sailor. They scrubbed out one of the rooms, you know, so they got a bare table. Operated there.
No.
And yes, and they had a team of nurses there to look after him.
Good heavens.
Presumably it cost an arm and a leg at the time, but they obviously...
They brought the doctors
and the staff to him.
And
yeah.
He got over that.
I don't remember him. I do remember
Dad. You don't remember him, no.
Dad used to live... The kids, when they were Dad's generation, when they got too many kids for the cottages, they used to go to the Jolly and live, didn't they? They just used to move them around to wherever they could. And Dad used to tell a tale of the geese that used to chase him around the yard.
That's right. Yes.
You know, the geese were ferocious and they'd chase you around
because
the yard.
They kept pigs, the Jolly Sailor. They kept pigs, they kept chickens, they kept rabbits. Used to be big hams hanging around in the kitchen, you know.
So when your great-grandfather died...
When he died, Mona took it over.
And what happened to his wife?
Well, his wife went to bed and she never got up anymore.
Oh.
So she went.
I don't think she was ill. I don't think she was ill.
She was bereaved and sad and she just gave up.
I can remember her sitting there with a paper fan, newspaper.
The newspaper, she used to make a fan of it.
With a paper fan.
Yeah.
And she had apples under the bed, and you could have an apple if you were very good.
She was there for a number of years, was she? Just
she was there, yes.
In bed
she
and
was,
in her room.
She was 93 when she died.
Was she? Yes. Yeah. It's nice that you can remember her.
I can remember her, yes. Very hard lady.
The other girls married, didn't they? And Dad, obviously, Granddad
Everybody
married,
else,
and Uncle
yes.
Tulip married. But because Mona stayed to look after Mona and Eve, didn't
and
Eve.
So Mona carried on looking after the pub.
Yeah, she until I think it's about 1968 when she came out of the pub.
Yeah,
and she had a house built next to where I live, and she went into there.
Did she?
Chelmer's End.
Chelmer End, yeah.
You just mentioned just now Uncle Tulip. You were saying that everybody had nicknames.
That's right,
at the basin.
Yeah. Now, Tulip was Mona's brother, and he lived alongside the Jolly Sailor in a bungalow or semi. Mona also, between him and the Jolly, had a house built that she was going to...
Yes, Hoyston House.
Yeah, she was going to retire to. And Hoyston was grandmother's maiden name. That's how it came to be Hoyston House. But she never gave up work, you know, to go into this one. She had another one built finally up alongside, because she had that piece of land too.
Tulip became Tulip because Tulip was the name of one of the barge horses.
Mm.
And most of the men that worked on the canal seemed to take over the name of the horse they looked after.
Yeah.
So everybody had a nickname.
His name actually was Lawrence, but yes, most people in the basin, most people had a nickname.
There was Snowball, Skinny.
Mm.
Did you have nicknames?
I don't think I ever did.
Fiddly Die Duck's Eye.
That
was what Uncle George called you, Fiddly Die Duck's Eye. Or Tiddler.
Tiddler, I did have Tiddler.
Mm-hmm.
Or Tids.
So I suppose a lot of people didn't really know other people's real names because they just knew
them by our father was Dilbury.
Yeah, Dilbury.
Dilbury.
Mm. Where did that come from?
I've no idea.
I think it was Dilberries, wasn't it?
I've no idea.
I think there was berries round the around the wall.
I mean, it's like the Morgan Fishermen, they all had a nickname.
Yeah, did they?
Yes,
all had a nickname.
Yeah. Mm. Was there a lot of fishing going on around the basin? Or was it mainly the timber trade that you remember?
There wasn't a lot of fishing. Our father fished, but he fished for food.
Mm. He used to do it when he was down the river. When they'd got a boat down the river and were unloading timber, they used to have the Malden fishermen go down to Stansgate and go aboard every morning to work the boats.
To unload the timber.
Right. So Dad would drop them off down there of a night and they'd come back by road and he'd stay there to look after his barges and check to make sure the riding lights were there and working. And then he'd go off fishing. He'd go around the back of Goldhanger with a peter net and a dinghy.
Or a trawl. They used to trawl.
Trawl and fish. And then he'd come up the next day and he'd have a barge dinghy, which is 12 foot long, full of fish. And they used to make special fish boxes, didn't they? Which are the shape of a boat and used to be
tow them.
Full of water. And he used to send me, he'd never sell a fish.
Every fish away, he never sold a fish in his life.
Really?
He used to send us home to get paper and what have you, and a bucket, and I used to go round the village with my bike to give the old girls and that, you know. Mm.
Yeah.
We never, ever ate a round fish, did we?
No, we didn't have the round fish.
We didn't have sea bass
or anything like that. Only flat fish. I don't know.
He
only had the flat fish.
Yeah, he didn't go on the round fish. He'd give them away.
But he was also a wild fowler.
Mm.
He had a gun punt and a gun. And he kept the village in Widgeon and things like that through the war.
So he always had a good catch of fish. There was plenty of fish.
There was plenty of fish, yes.
Yeah.
People must have been very grateful to him.
Constantly, yes, I think so. Most people were. You get the odd one that used to sort of, you know, asked him to gut it and could he skin it. Used to get miffed sometimes, but he would bring home to Mum, bless her, you know, what was left and say, yeah, sort them out.
Yes. She had to deal with it.
She had to skin them and gut them and she would. We had a Primus stove outside the back door, didn't we? We had a little kitchen range, but no electric cooker. And Sunday morning, she'd be out there with a Primus stove and a frying pan, and she would have filleted all these because he didn't like the bones. Mm. So she would have filleted all these and she would cook meat platters of this
fish
for hours on end, and we were
never allowed to waste a fish.
No,
if you didn't eat it hot, you ate it cold.
Yes, we ate everything. He always said that if you wasted a fish, you'd never catch any more. So yes, we ate them. We always ate them.
So you were brought up on a lot of fish?
Mm. On fish.
Mm. Fish and rabbits and widgeon. And, yeah.
Oh, yes, he was a rabbiter as well.